Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com.
Okay, well, welcome back to another special episode of the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 73, being recorded on the 15th of April, 2015, with special guest Hugh Valentine from CloudPoint. I'm Sujit DeMello, and on Skype with me I have Kale Teeter and Evan Basilik and our special guest. Now, guys, Hugh, please excuse this question. It's more directed for Kale and Evan, but have you guys filed your taxes yet?
Weeks ago.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, good. Today is D-Day for us in the States, Hugh.
Wait a minute, but okay. You didn't answer. Did you do yours?
Yes, I did mine.
Okay.
I'm waiting for my refund, yes. when do you guys do taxes in the UK, Hugh?
Our tax year is 1st of April. But we don't have to manually submit our own taxes. They're just done through the business.
Ah, okay. But your deadline is 1st of April, just like we have a deadline
yep.
today.
Yeah,
it's not too far away. Well, I think it was almost a quarter ago, we spoke to another ISV, what was that, Blue Mountain? Was that the name of the company? Then we decided we're going to do this, regular series of shows where we talk to ISVs about how they use Azure, what are they doing in the Azure space, and how they're essentially making money off Azure. Hugh Valentine reached out to us. He's with this company in the UK called CloudPoint, and he was gracious enough to get on the show with us to share some thoughts about what the company does and how they leverage Azure. Now, Hugh, we were just looking at your company website, which we'll put in the show notes, of course. But it looks like you guys are all in with terms of Microsoft. I see, like, you guys are all over the place in terms of Microsoft services, various cloud services that Microsoft offers. How did that come about?
We come from a very strong background of SharePoint services. We have a sister company called iGroup who do SharePoint and SharePoint hosting. And the real piece of where Cloud Control was born is the SharePoint hosting that we do for iGroup. So we learn a lot about hosting environments. We have a huge customer base of SharePoint customers in Azure. And CloudPoint was really born to provide other services within Azure other than SharePoint. Learning all of the things we've learned from hosting SharePoint environments.
Okay, and I noticed that you have a services as well as you have a product, right? Cloud Control, is that what it's called?
Yep, so we have a workshop, which is our engagement workshops of helping people look at hybrid cloud environments. And we have a cloud control suite. So we really come into the market where we help people get to the cloud and host those environments for people. So when people want to join Azure, they quite often don't want to recruit an Azure specialist. They'd like to migrate to the cloud and then not have to worry about managing those new cloud skills and training new people up.
Oh, I see. So you not only help them get on board, but you also manage it from there on.
Yeah. So we take full ownership of their environments. So they could be SQL environments or SharePoint environments. And then we offer full support of looking after those for the clients.
Okay, great. And just in, just in the interest of full disclosure, Evan is with our Microsoft support team, Azure support team, and Kale and myself are with the MCS team. We do a lot of Azure work. In some ways we can consider us competitors, but for this show we're just talking about Azure and all the good things about Azure. So, we're not going to talk about that competitive stuff. And we're happy to have, you know, obviously have partners. Now, you guys must be gold partners or something like that, right?
Yeah, we're gold partners. And, of course, we work very closely with Microsoft. We're not competing with Microsoft. We're using your or Microsoft services and just building it and making it easier for our customers to use Azure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really appreciate seeing partners come online in this space, because that means that more of the questions that I get are probably the harder, more difficult questions. I mean, again, everybody's new to a product at some point, but as somebody who's been doing this for a long time and doing Azure for a long time, it is nice to get the hard, nasty, ugly questions that nobody's ever seen before. And I got to thank you that you guys have probably leveraged support at some point where you couldn't figure it out, but you're providing it for your customers. So behind the scenes, you interact with
support. Yeah, most definitely. So we're using Azure support regularly, particularly around connecting VPNs for our clients with on-premise environments.
Interesting. I would say that's actually my team's specialty, so I bet if we cross-reference, we'd probably find some mutual interactions. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, really what we found is that the hidden costs of people joining the cloud are things like setting up a domain controller, setting up backup services in virtual machines, so DPM, setting up SCCM and operations manager. They're five machines that we can share across all of our customer base, and then it means that they're not having to pay individually to run those environments themselves.
I see. Now, I notice you also do a lot of work in terms of hybrid connectivity, like where there's cross-premises, on-premises work as well as in Azure. Do you see a lot of work there?
Yep. So we have a lot of customers that are starting their process of getting into the cloud. They're not ready to go into the full cloud yet and migrate everything, but they'd certainly like to start creating a connection to Azure and then taking advantage of being able to create a virtual machine or take advantage of the services that are available in Azure easily.
Now, from what you're dealing with various customers, what do you think are the main blockers that customers initially face to moving to the cloud, and how do you guys help them get over those blockers?
So one of the biggest issues that we found for people trying to configure hybrid environments are finding a VPN provider and then connecting that VPN device, whether it's Cisco or SonicWall, into Azure and getting that working requires a whole new skill set, which is quite often unique. So we have partners that we work with that help people source supported VPN devices, and then we assist with the Azure connection so they can start the process of joining the cloud.
Okay. That's interesting, right, isn't it, Alan? Because we spoke this last week with the PM for the hybrid connection team.
Yeah, we were talking to Ganesh last week. I mean, that's actually really, really, really cool to hear, Hugh, because I can't tell you how many of the cases that come to my team where the customer's using a device that we've either not even come anywhere near validating, or it's one that we know, not only do we not validate it, but we know there's some known issues. So but you're right, customers, like most of the customers I talk to have never set up a VPN in their life. Right.
Yeah.
And so to have you guys out there, not just helping them set it up, but also like it sounds like actually even helping them go through the procurement process and figure out which one they want to get. Man, that's going to make life really easy for those customers ultimately.
Yeah, completely agreed. I mean, that was the biggest challenge we faced with new customers trying to get on board with Azure. So we've just made that process as easy as possible. All of this we've learned from our own building of the environments and what we've done ourselves.
So you guys didn't do that early on. You just kind of went in with, we're doing the cloud side. You've added kind of that hybrid piece on top as you've gone along.
Yeah, like I said, we started with a SharePoint environment, and SharePoint environments, and one of our customers had the requirement of connecting the on-premise ADs to Azure SharePoint environment. So that's what the first client really where we realized that we needed to get a VPN device. And that process was a very long, drawn out process, getting the required device and then connecting that to Azure.
Hmm. Yeah, that can be real challenging. I mean, if you've never dealt with IPsec or VPNs, like you said, I mean, it's just, you're actually really at more of a networking problem than anything else. Right, it really has nothing to do with the application or our application architecture or anything. It's hardcore networking at that point.
Yeah.
Now, do you see a lot of customers preferring to use their on-premises AD, or do they not migrate to the Azure AD?
All of our customers need to have, because they're connecting to virtual machines, they like to set up a trust. So we connect the VPN device, and then we create a domain controller within the cloud, and then create a trust between the two domains. We use Azure AD for Office 365 and SharePoint instances, but for pure VMs, we're using.
Oh, I see. So you have a
trusted AD.
AD in the cloud. Okay. All right. Excellent. Now, what are the other blockers that you say besides the hybrid connection one you just mentioned? When customers come to you and say, I want to go to the cloud, but what do you hear there?
One of the biggest challenges that people have are the knowledge required and finding the correct Azure service for what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Because Azure is so broad and it's changing so often, it's quite often difficult for the client to know whether they should be looking at virtual machines or SQL Azure, and then determining which one would be most cost effective for their specific environments.
Yeah, I was wondering about that here. Do you get into with the customer about things like application migrations or like line of business apps that they might want to move over there? I heard you mention in SQL and SharePoint some of the out-of-the-box things, but do you see them moving custom apps there at all?
Yeah, so we help people migrate primarily into virtual machines at the moment. Their existing custom applications and making those cloud-ready. We don't have so much to do with Azure web pages. It's more virtual machines and getting their cloud applications running within those virtual machines.
Oh, nice. So you provide even like app dev support there to help them tweak their application to make it work in the cloud?
Yeah, we find the best application in Azure for them to use, and then we help them migrate to that and develop a roadmap of how we could blend their application even more into Azure as time goes on. So an example would be one of our customers hosts time management software. So previously they had to have a server on-premise at the customer's location, and that was causing them networking issues. And if the servers ever went down, then there was huge issues with them trying to resolve it with the local IT. So we helped them migrate those virtual machines to Azure, where they can completely control the environments, and there's no longer a requirement to have those in on-premise at all, and they have complete control of the problems that may occur.
Nice.
Now, Hugh, how do you guys do disaster recovery? What kind of disaster recovery or high availability solutions do you guys offer to your customers? Is that something that comes up?
All the time. So it's usually case by case. The cloud control, which we mentioned, is a set of tools that we've usually Microsoft products and some custom development. But for example, if we're talking backup, we use DPM to make sure that the files are backed up and the SQL databases are backed up. We're using SCCM to do automatic patching and maintenance. And then we have operations manager running, which basically allows our support techs to keep a monitor on all of the servers 24/7 and get alerts if there's any potential problems. The custom stuff we've developed are reporting on the virtual machines. So we're checking the CPU, memory, and disk usage to see if they're ever peaking above 70% regularly. And if that flags, then an alert with our support team to check what's going on.
Oh, nice. So you guys using the management APIs or PowerShell? How do you guys, I don't need to know the whole detail. I know it's all secret sauce there, but just at a high level, what are you guys using there?
We're using the Azure metrics to gather the data, and then we've got a data mining process to extrapolate the information we need for those reports.
You said the Azure matrix, is that what you said?
Yeah.
What is that?
One of my colleagues, the technical manager, is pulling the resource information from the machines.
Okay, so
he's pulling all the memory usage, CPU usage and the disk usage.
And they're doing that using the PowerShell or the REST APIs? Or, like, do you know how they do that?
They're pulling it through some Azure metrics on the resources from the machines, I believe.
Yeah, there's an API you can call in Nisagi to get some of that stuff.
So that's what he's referring to? I had not heard of this word called the Azure Matrix before.
Metrics.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My fault. Yeah. I was hearing Matrix, and I'm like, oh, God, here's another service that I haven't heard about. Azure, as you said, services keep popping up every day. This wouldn't be the first time that I missed it. Okay, great. So the Azure Matrix. So probably using the management API, is that what they would use?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Great. That's nice. So you guys wrapped something around that and provided your own little dashboard to so that you can alert customers when things are not going good.
Yeah, and when they may potentially need to upgrade their server sizes and the like.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool to see that you guys kind of build that because, you know, I know we provide those metrics, but, you know, it continually amazes me how many customers I talk to that really don't – even I guess this is even true in the on-premises world, right? They don't even really know how utilized or unutilized their servers are. And one of the things that I've seen kind of perpetually in Azure is people will build exactly what they have on premises. And then they, in essence, have an overscaled machine without realizing they can just scale it down. Right? You don't have to rebuild it. You don't have to put new hardware on it. You just say, hey, I'm on A4 today and, you know, I'll take a restart. But then when I come back up, I'm in A2. Right? I mean, do you guys find that you're actually with kind of the visibility you have that you're able to help your customers not just know when their machines are overutilized, but also go the other way and say, hey, you really don't need this A4. You really only need a A3 or, you know, whatever, based on those metrics. So you're actually saving them money as well.
That was the primary reason why we developed this set of products, because we realized that a lot of machines were running over capacity and in non-peak hours.
Yep.
So we'd find that some machines are running in the evening that never needed to be run. And these reports quickly enable us to see which servers are being used and when. And then we can build scripts then to perhaps deliver schedules of when we could power off our development machines automatically and when we can power them back on. And then auto scale and descale our customers' environments so that we can provide them a cost saving. We managed to save about 30% on our Azure costs once we identified these machines that were running.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, obviously you guys are, you know, in to make some money as well, but to be able to save them money. So typically when we talk about cloud, right, you get flexibility, but it may or may not save you money, but it sounds like you guys are able to help them get both.
Yeah, right? What people don't realize when they move to the cloud is that it's a pay-as-you-go model. But it's, unless you have good governance and you're monitoring the machine's utilization and powering them off on and off regularly, you're not going to make the cost savings. It's easy to leave a machine running and forget about it and then realize you've spent a lot more money than you planned to in the initial budget.
That reminds me, I have some machines I spun up last night for something I was testing. I need to shut those off after we get done here.
G5s over there, Evan, or?
Yeah, that'll burn a hole in your credit real soon.
Yeah.
That's great, Hugh. Glad to see you guys in doing all this. Now I noticed that you also do a lot of work, as you said, with Office 365, and it looks like you're dealing with Exchange Online, Link Online, and even the Dynamics Suites Online, CRM Online. What kind of, I know this is not directly related to our show, but just as a data point, what sort of usage are you seeing for these other services, these SaaS services that Microsoft provides?
Massive. So the reason that we've taken on board Office 365, Exchange, and the other pieces is because that's usually the first point that we're seeing companies wanting to migrate and start using the cloud. So that's their first step to take advantage of cloud services, and then following that, they will then look to use Azure for other components like the virtual machines or SQL Azure.
I see. Very good. Okay, anything else you'd like to say about what kind of trends you're seeing in the Azure space, what customers are looking at doing in the future, anything, any suggestions for us, for Microsoft?
Only the biggest showstopper for people getting into the cloud at the moment, I feel, is the VPN devices. And we're going to hit the limitations of those VPN devices in Azure pretty soon as well. And I believe that will be a big problem.
Hey, so you mean, like, sorry, go ahead, Evan.
You're I was going to say, have you guys started seeing or starting onboarding customers to ExpressRoute? Have you started to see that?
I think ExpressRoute only became available recently for the UK customers, but that's certainly something we've started to look at for some of our bigger clients, yes.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, it still does leave a gap kind of for the small to medium size at that point. But
what are these limits you speak of here? What is the limiting factor here?
The number of VPN VPN Connect gateways that you can configure on an Azure subscription.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking total gateway count, you mean?
Yeah.
Do you end up having multiple VMs for, do you end up on your side, does each customer have their own subscription, or do you merge subscriptions within one and kind of manage it transparently for them from an Azure perspective?
Yeah, we have a couple of subscriptions. Most of our customers are merged within the one or two subscriptions, and we manage it for them.
Okay. Yeah, so that would make sense. You would start hitting some of the subscription limitations under that.
No, is it one of those deals, Evan, where they can open up a billing case and have it upped, or is it a hard-coded limit there?
Depends on the resource, right? There's a number of them that have soft limits, and you can certainly bump them, but there also are some hard limits under some of those. But it kind of depends on which particular resource it is that's doing. The number of gateways, 200 sticks in my head, but
I thought it was 256 for some reason, but I could be wrong.
I think that's for point to site clients is 256, but I think I want to say gateways is like 200, but I can't remember if that's the right number or not. But yeah, there is an upper bound on all of this. We just usually reasonably high, but I think scenarios like CloudPoint's doing here are, I don't want to say they're not fringe because it's certainly a mainline scenario, but it's more typical for everybody has like one subscription, one subscription per workload or per department or whatever you do. But it's actually more efficient ultimately to kind of do it all in one because it's easier to manage. But you're right. You would hit some of these limits. So yeah, I don't think there's an easy answer for that.
Yeah. But the billing's going to have to be a nightmare, right? For you guys to sort it out then between all the various customers, if you're using just one or two accounts.
We manage the billing directly with the clients and pay the Azure subscription ourselves.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Okay, so you have your special rate that you charge customers, and then I see what you mean.
Yeah, because we're providing the full hosting solution.
That's right.
We're charging over and above.
Okay, fair enough.
It'd be nice in the future, the resource group feature that's growing, once that gets fully flushed out, that'll be good to, at least from you guys internally, be able to see like what it is costing you, you know, and break it down easier. Might be a little easier.
Okay, but do you know when that's coming out?
I mean, it's out there in like limited form right now, but it's constantly being added to. It's like one of those services that's growing, but that's going to be something big. But it's available right now in like preview form, I believe. But it's I don't know when the end date is, the GA release date.
Yeah, I think it's getting, I mean, I think we've learned that the people do manage resources at an individual resource level, right? You know, somebody has access to server A, but not server B or whatever. So I think it's kind of like you were saying, Cale, it's kind of an ongoing process as we kind of put that stuff in there.
Yeah, I think it's twofold. It's like being able to say, here's my capacity planning, like here's resource management kind of thing. And then it's also an RBAC thing, right? Being able to control access and say, let's put all this stuff over here and only these guys have access to it. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I hope that grows because a lot of customers I see are asking the same question about that.
Yeah.
That sounds like it'd be very useful for us.
Yeah, I think this is purely a non-technical question. And I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but have you guys noticed that there's this one picture of a data center that seems to be making it around on everybody's websites? You guys have the same one on your homepage that we do on our Azure page. it's this, it's yeah, a check-in. I encourage you guys to check it out because it's actually probably the fourth place I've seen it now.
That's funny.
It's this perv look, and you can see the little square grills at the top. It's really kind of funny. I looked at it, I was like, I've seen that before.
It's probably the marketing material from Microsoft.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So.
Right, Hugh. Well, thank you very much for your insights. Appreciate you joining the show and speaking to us and sharing your thoughts with our listeners.
Yeah, thank you.
And if there's any special links that you want to share with them, please email them to me and I'll add them to the show notes. We'll put them along with the podcast.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And guys, Evan, Cale, thanks for jumping in the middle of the day here for us. And hope you guys have enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Yep, take care. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.